Take a seat, put on some headphones, put that volume up. It is us. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe. I'm a filmmaker, director, a writer, photographer, whatever it is you want to call me these days. It's me. And across me is one of the best in the world at what she does. One of the best cartoonists that you can see across the whole entire nation. Curl Studio herself. Most beautiful person I've ever seen. Carolyn Bilewski. How's it going, Carolyn?
Wow. That's a pretty good introduction. It's going good.
Awesome. Good times. This is the second episode of 2015.
Oh my gosh. Feels
like forever.
Hearing you say that.
It already feels like forever to me.
Well, it's February 19th as we record this. And
February 19th?
Rewind. January 19th as we record this. And to me, it already feels like February in my mind. You know, that's why I think I said February.
Because
I'm like, it's approaching February. It's like crazy. Craziness. I'm working on some secret project, but I can tell all of you podcast listeners what it is.
Because the podcast is the secret for lots of people.
Yeah, this is where you find all the secrets.
This is the secrets of our lives. We don't really post a lot of stuff, but you get to listen to our deep thoughts here on the Carolyn and Joe Show. That's what makes this show special. Instead of having to type it in people's comment boards or anything like that,
where
people can just let it go, we're trying to entertain you with our lives. And, you know, you can take us anywhere you want, and we'll be here in your ear, in your brain, and this is what we do. Non-disposable.
Yes.
My dream is to, when I die, have this podcast playing, like, the whole, like, forever. So people will be like, oh my goodness, look at him. Look at him go.
He's still alive.
You know, something that's, you know, that's there. That you can hear my voice. You can actually hear my voice, and it can be actually interpreted as, like, the way I say it. That's the problem I feel with the way a lot of people write and the way people post things. It's like, I don't feel the trueness. You know what I mean? But here, you hear me. Do you hear me? It's authentic.
So, the secret that's not going to be so secret in a little while, but I am working on a special Valentine's pin set. I think I'm going to make it into a little pins set, and so I can put it on my Etsy store, which I have not really updated, but I plan to get back into Etsy. I feel like I was pretty good at it a few years ago, but then everyone started being on Etsy. I just started drifting away from it and going to the Comic-Con shows to meet people live in person.
Everyone started being on everything, right?
Yeah, and so, but I feel like, and that wasn't necessarily my reason for, like, not being as active on Etsy, but I guess it just kind of, like, the big flood of the crafting market kind of wore off for a lot of people. And, but yeah, I feel like I'm going to start putting some more stuff up and learn more about online selling more, gearing more towards that. Because a lot of people can't make it out to the shows because we usually only hit up the East Coast comic conventions. So it'd be nice to, like, release some stuff that people can actually buy online.
I'm actually going to do this podcast without my glasses and see if this makes any difference.
Oh, wow.
We'll see how this goes.
Is that a first?
It is a first.
Oh, you're going to be, like, going into the podcast, like, in your haze, in the blurriness.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope, I guess maybe that's why my mindset is on February, even though it is January 19th right now, so it's crazy. Where is the time going?
The time is going to the Carolyn's News. That's the time it's going. I can't see any of these buttons, but I'm make sure it's happening.
Pressing the board. Okay, so speaking of doing our comic book convention tours, our first confirmed date now is March 28th. We're going to be in Pittsburgh. We're going to be at PIX, PIX, the Pittsburgh Indie Comics Expo. This is on Saturday, March 28th, and we hope to see you there. And then we're going to be back in our hometown convention at AwesomeCon DC. It's a 3-day show from May 29th to May 31st. And that's coming up. It sounds like it's far away, but seriously, I feel like it's going to be here as soon as you know it. And then further on down in 2015, we're also going to be at Baltimore Comic Con, September 25th through 27th, another 3-day show. So right there, that's already a whole week's worth of conventions. 7 days, yo! Confirmed! So, I don't know how I broke out into that
street
version, but yeah, I mean, I'm excited. So we already have 7 days in 3 conventions for the comic shows for 2015, and I assure you there will be more comic conventions that we will hit up, but those are just the confirmed dates right now. So Philly, actually Pittsburgh, I always get mixed up with the P's. Because it's Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Philly, pierogies.
Pierogi town.
It's like full of peas up there, and then I get all like crazed out. But yeah, Pittsburgh, coming for you. And then DC, we're coming for you. And Baltimore, we're coming for you. So be on the lookout. And also be on the lookout for the Curls Valentine's special stuff that I'll have up on Etsy. I think my name on Etsy is Cartoon Carolyn. But you can probably find a lot of the stuff if you go to curls-studio.com and click on the links from there and try to find what you're looking for. And also, I have my own personal site now. It's just carolynbilevsky.com. So check that out. We'll be around.
It's good to have your own name real estate. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Feel like I like... At first, it was so funny because starting out, I guess, in the industry or whatever, like 6 or 7 years ago now at this point... I remember, like, we had our first books, or I guess, like, our first maybe 3 books out on shows, and I never put our names on the cover, because I thought it was weird. Like, even though I saw other authors do that,
yeah.
Like, even, like, whatever, John Grisham, and then it's, like, small type of, like, what the actual book name is. I mean, he's obviously, like, a huge superstar, but I just thought it was weird to put the names on the book for some reason at that time. I think I was, like, trying not to be a superstar.
Trying to be
like,
underground.
I was trying to be like, oh, I don't want people to know that I wrote it, but it'll be like on tiny print in the inside. Like it was literally at like 6 or 7 point type on like the inside front cover. And I remember I was like showing it to people, and Frank Camiso was like super nice, and he like, you know, gave some tips, and he was just like, you need to put your name on the front. And I like thought about it, and I was like, I don't really like want to promote myself, you know, like, and then like I always thought it was weird to actually have a URL that was like your name, not necessarily weird, like there's nothing wrong with it. It would be funny because I would go to other people's sites, and I wouldn't have a problem with it, but then for me, I felt like so dirty to like always promote. But now I'm at the point where I actually have my own website with my name, and I did start putting our names on the comic book covers. But still, like, not super huge, but I at least put it on the covers. And I feel like I might even take it further. I might just have a book called Carolyn and Joe.
I always felt that, like, that was one of the first things that we learned when we were first venturing out and putting our own work out there. I mean, I learned it too when I put out when I did like the festival circuit and did the Madcap 3 and tried to put my movie out there. It's like promotion is incredibly important. And it's that weird line, you know what I mean? That marketing and the creative is that weird line of like, oh, I'm just going to be talking about myself. You know, do I really want to just be the, you know what I mean? Am I just bragging and stuff like, and now everyone freaking brags all day long. No one's afraid of it at all.
You know what? Back then on the internet, it was different.
It was.
And this is like maybe 2006. So,
but to me,
this is like actually almost a decade ago. I can't even believe it was 2006.
But it's quite crazy how that legit was one of the main things I learned. It's like, it's one thing to make something. For me back then, it was one thing to make a movie, and that's great. You made a movie, you made a song, you did something. But then half the battle, and I mean 50% of the battle, is getting people
to watch it,
to listen to it, to look at it.
Or putting books in people's hands and making them try to read it.
And it's amazing how like that's like starting out, that wasn't even something that like I was thinking about. I'm like, oh, I actually got to get these, you know? And it's weird how like when you first start doing it, you do feel sort of dirty. You feel the dirtiness of marketing, and you feel like, oh, I'm just going to be now just talking about how great I am, you know? It was already... That's like so amazing how we don't have a team. I mean, we never had like our own marketing team, so we had to go and do the digging ourselves and put out our own press releases and go and talk to the papers and stuff like that. But it still felt to me, it still, when I was first starting out, it felt dirty, right? It felt like, is this right to just be talking about myself and how awesome I am? And really what happened to me is I got used to it, and then I got used to it and I started feeling like I was evil, and I started encompassing that part like, I'm evil, I get, look at you, you know how to promote, you're a big promoter now, Joe, that's all you do is talk about yourself, you know. And
What else are you supposed to talk about?
Well, also another angle of it is a lot of these people don't realize if I don't do it, you're not doing it. Like, you, friend, not you, Carolyn, but like the person who's saying, oh, I promote. It's like, well, you're not going to promote me. You know what I mean?
Well,
how am I supposed to get my name out?
Some of like the, I guess, bigger up people out there, they do have a whole team. Or like if there's a company behind it, if it's like Capitol Records or something, they have like a whole team of people already getting paid to do that for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just easier for that, but...
But see, that's the thing. And then I started learning. Like, it's what's incredible...
It's a whole network of promotion.
But what's incredible is that when you have to promote yourself, you almost... To do it right, I feel like you have to go Don Draper on it. You really have to dig and find out what is the truth about the... Or what is the angle that you're taking on your piece. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to talk about the Madcap 3 when I was making the movie. But then when I had to, like, tell people in the media, like what's it about, like, really quickly, then I had to, like, really decipher what the hell is this movie about? You know what I mean? What is this pitch? You know, we start with our comics, we started learning that too. We really were like, oh, it's a... But we started, like, sharpening that knife of, like, how to talk, how to really explain and really quick. Because what's the thing you learn? Like, a lot of times people don't have the patience to listen to, like, a long-ass pitch of, like, oh, it's about this, and then they go into this. It's like you really just have those 15 seconds to grab them, right? When you were first talking about your books and when you were first doing all that and marketing and doing marketing for yourself, what are the things that you learned, and what was the part that, like, you know, that you had to change about the way you talked?
I guess get to the point quicker, and people don't really have a big attention span, so you just gotta really nail what you're talking about within, like, two sentences.
That's true. I feel that's because
feel like I'm working on that, because it's hard. It's really hard to talk, like... Not necessarily like a robot, but it's like you gotta just get to it. And sometimes I do add extra words, which I need to get better at editing, which is a cool thing about Twitter, because they only give you a certain amount of characters, so in a way you have to edit yourself to get to the most basic point, which is, in my opinion, like one of the best things about Twitter.
Yeah.
But it's like I just said there. You know, there's always... gonna be like I'm not the best like talker in terms of narrowing down everything specific with like a point. I'm still working on it, and I feel like it's gonna be like one of those life goals. It's not gonna happen overnight. And I maybe I should take like one of those Toastmaster classes that teaches you how to give speeches and stuff.
Toastmaster? What's one? I don't even know what that is.
I don't know if it's a club, but they actually have like classes and get-togethers where they learn. It's basically like learning public speaking with a whole crowd of people that want to learn.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Maybe you should try it.
That'd I don't be know a if good, I'll try.
I think actually you're good at doing speeches.
I don't like being. Am I good at doing speeches?
I always
feel
are.
Like. I've realized because I've done hosting, you know, I've been a host on this show for like almost over four years, or on a show for 4 years. I did Project Resolution, hosting that by myself as a single host monthly for like several years.
And you've given speeches at weddings.
I've given speeches at weddings.
I mean, that's what the Toastmaster's for. It's like that type of stuff.
But see, like that's the thing is like I don't know if what I'm doing. Like, I've just forgotten, not forgotten, but I've just now not cared if what I'm saying is, I don't know, is, like, is correct or is, like, what's supposed to be said. I've really legitimately only thought about, am I expressing what I'm trying to get out there? You know
what
I mean?
But also, like, if the people that really do speak with such, like, extreme, like
I can't be, like, I can't be, like, Hitler and be, like, slamming all over the place, you know?
Why not?
Well, that's not my style. Well, I guess I could.
I'm just saying the people, like, if you listen to, like, press conferences from the president and stuff, or not just the president, but also, like, you know, his representatives and stuff, the way they talk, I'm not saying it's bad or good, that's just how society is, but no one actually really talks like that. And I know it's in the environment of a press room, you know, but when people are, maybe I'm just taking this out of context, or, like, if people are friends and they're just talking to each other, like, no one talks like that.
So, well, give me an example. Like,
you know,
talk,
like in a press
talk
conference,
like what?
They're like, today was a sad day for America.
Is that how the press conferences go?
Like, they're just, I don't, they just...
They're just answering the questions from me.
But they
yeah,
use,
we
like,
searched,
big words and all that. Maybe they're just too intellectual. I don't know. I've been told that I'm an intellectual recently, and I'm like, really? Because I don't talk like one, but apparently, I guess, I guess I am more intellectual than the average person, but who knows? I just, but I feel like someone... I don't talk like as sharp as I could. I guess that's the best way to say it. I could be better at talking a little sharper.
But see, I feel like focusing on what's being sharper or not is like what ruins it. You know what I mean? It's like when you're talking to someone and you're so focused on making sure every single word is proper.
Means something.
Yeah, if everything is like that, it's like, to me, you're not focusing on the subject at hand. You know what I mean? I feel like you can get better at speaking when you're not trying to get better at speaking.
It just kind of happens.
When you're trying just to be organic, but then you don't try. It's like, in a way, it's like you gotta let loose. Because I feel like you can speak like a human being. Everyone can speak like a human being.
I don't think everyone can.
Well, I mean, but like majority of people can speak like that. But it's more, I feel like a lot of people just have to calm down. I find myself having to calm down and just slow it down sometimes. But then again, if I want to really mess with people, then I start speaking real fast and get really excited like that. Those are all little traits.
Like Chris Rock.
Yeah, those are things, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the real conversation that I would have. I don't even know how Joe would naturally talk. I'd bet Joe does not want to talk. Is what the natural Joe thing.
Are you talking about yourself in the third person?
I am. If Joe had a choice, he just wouldn't talk. I try to take as many moments not to talk.
I remember you actually did go through a phase where you didn't talk.
I still like going through phases where I don't talk. Because there's a lot of moments now that I guess because I'm so in... I don't know. There's so many instances where I have to be speaking, you know what I mean? Not properly, but like almost in a pitch or just doing hustling and stuff like that. And almost talking feels like work sometimes. And you know, you don't really figure out what is the real way that Joe would talk. And then maybe I come to realize Joe just won't talk.
What would you say if you could talk to your 10th and 11th grade self? What would you say to that young Joe?
The Joe 10th and 11th grade Joe?
Yeah, that Joe I don't think talked very much.
I don't think I would talk to him. I think I would just be, I'd be there.
You'd be
I
there.
I always liked the fact.
Like a little shadow holding,
yeah,
holding your
I actually like that. I like, but see, the thing is, I liked people and I liked characters that were able to communicate without talking. You know what I mean? And though, yeah, I do like the Tarantino mirror deep in the conversation because they think that's natural because people are always talking like that. But then I also like, I like the non-communicative ones too. They're just able to do very simply.
You wouldn't have any advice.
Are you saying advice-wise? What would I say to him?
Yeah, or you just wouldn't talk to him.
I mean, that's different. That's different. I
what would your advice
my
be
advice
to
your
younger self?
My advice to my 10th and 11th grade self?
Yeah.
I don't think I really had advice. There would be
See,
no
you don't,
advice.
You can't. You don't, still don't talk to him.
I still probably. But like, if I were to, if you're saying if I had to talk to him, but like, I would probably talk to him. I don't even. I wonder if he would even recognize that I am him. You ever wonder about that? I wonder if I've changed so much. When I have
the, be like, who the hell are you?
Yeah, because I have different. I'm wearing glasses now. I didn't wear glasses back then. Like, I didn't wear the glasses. You know what I'm saying? I'd walk around blind as fuck on purpose.
Why?
Because I wanted to be cool.
Did you think that glasses was not cool then?
I mean, I didn't have glasses that made me feel cool or made me confident.
Did you ever want contacts? I don't think you've ever had contacts. Is that correct? Have you ever tried putting them in your eyes?
Nope, I haven't, but I've put many things in my eyes, like my hand.
Well, why didn't you want to get contacts? Like, why would you suffer through going blind walking in the hallway?
You know, to tell you the truth, I don't think that was really even an option for me.
Why?
I think it was just glasses. Here, have glasses. Maybe contacts were really expensive back then.
I don't really think so.
I don't know, but that was never given to me as an option.
They're not that expensive that, like, it's not like, it's. I don't think it's going to break the bank to get contacts if you already have glasses.
I do, but like these days, I do like the idea of like how, you know, glasses as like a prop is always cool. But I've never even like tried back then to say like, I want to have contacts. I mean,
but
looking
never,
at now, that
did,
would be
did
that would
it ever
be interesting.
Occur for you though, if you don't want to wear your contact or if you don't want to wear your glasses because you want to be cool, why didn't you ever say like, "Can I try contacts?"
That's funny because I'm
like,
all
that to me would just be like the natural progression.
I mean, in all honesty, it never happened. It was just glasses. Here you go.
No,
I actually had two pairs of glasses at one point because it was a sale.
Yeah, but why did you never ask?
I don't think I was even at that point of...
You never even thought that far.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't think I really started developing into the mindset I have now until the summer of 99.
What happened that summer that changed you?
I listened to freaking Rage Against the Machine.
And then you were like, I can wear my glasses safely.
No, but I started like, but like really.
Like, were you just like sitting in the back of the class, like blind as a bat without your glasses? You couldn't see anything?
I didn't sit in the back of the class though. I sat in the middle.
Could you still see the board?
No.
Then I don't understand the thought behind having glasses and not wearing them. I mean, I get that you want to be cool, so you take your glasses off. But I don't understand how you sacrifice like your schooling to not see. And then you didn't even say, like, can I get contacts?
Yeah, it's a hard thing to understand.
I just don't, like, to me, I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you?
I have no idea why it led to that.
Like,
I'm
do you think now, looking back, that you're like, what the hell? Who would do that? And I did that.
The simple fact that I can't give you an answer on why I didn't even step up to that, I do understand why I didn't put on the glasses.
Yeah, because, I mean, I get that you're not trying to be cool, or you're trying to be cool, you know? I get that, but then it's like, wouldn't the natural, like, progression say, like, hey, mom and dad, I don't want to wear glasses. Can I get contacts?
Yeah, but see, how about this?
Like, it's just a simple question.
I mean, I'm going through, that's high school time, man. I'm going through that stuff, and I have never been confident towards my looks or anything like that. And, like, just adding glasses to that whole ordeal, I'm just like, that made me feel like shit, you know?
Yeah,
just,
but why didn't you ask for contacts?
I don't think it was a
choice. A lot of people had contacts, Joe.
That's true.
I had contacts.
That is true. I don't believe it was even given me as a choice.
But why didn't you ask? Have you heard of contacts at that point?
Yeah,
did you know
what
they were?
I did. And I don't know why I never really stepped up to that. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know why.
Like, to me, that's weird.
Just to tell you the truth, I still haven't even asked myself, why don't I switch the contacts yet? At this point, you know?
I just think it's weird.
I fucking should just get contacts right now and be like, oh, this is the whole world. And people are going to be like, oh, it's a different Joe. He doesn't have glasses on. He parted his hair on the different side and he has different glasses.
Do you know
what's next? Is he going to wear white?
Do you think people are actually going to notice?
People don't notice shit that I do. That's what makes everything that I do so amazing.
Has anyone came up to you and said, oh my God, Joe, you parted your hair on the other side?
No, I have not. I swear to God, no one has fucking ever given me any compliment. Like, you probably have given me a compliment, and no one else in this world is like, oh, you know, you're looking pretty sharp today, Joe. Oh, yeah, your voice doesn't sound like crap today, Joe. I swear to fucking God, I have never
you're
once...
You're not allowed to talk about God.
Sorry,
like
sorry, Lord. But, like, I swear to you, the amount of no compliments that I've gotten has been amazing.
Epic.
Epic proportions of, like, there'll be days... I'm like, you know what? I feel pretty cool today. I wonder if anyone's going to notice. Fuck no.
What was the last compliment?
I have always, since 7th grade, I have always been that sidekick to that whatever good-looking kid. I had a friend in 7th grade, and I think this set the tone for my whole entire life, that, like, his name was Carlos. Carlos Burgos. He was a cool kid. We actually, like, got into comics together. He was curly hair. And I remember us one time walking in the mall, right? And then, like, you know, I wasn't really, again, still high on my self-esteem. It's me. I was a fat kid. You know, there it is. Fat Asian kid, round dude. You know, that's how it was. Like, comics, wore black and jeans. What an awesome guy. So
scary.
And then, of course, then you have this kid. You know, he's a cool guy, skater kid, you know? Named Carlos, 7th grade, walked around and...
Was he Hispanic?
Yeah, he was Hispanic. And then it was like a white Hispanic type mix, you know, but like a young one. He's like, hey, man, what's up? You know, and then one time we're walking in the mall.
Was he very popular?
We were walking in the mall, and then all of a sudden a group of these girls start following us. And like in my head, I was like, holy crap, we have some girls following. This is awesome. And then we go to like the comic book store, like, you know, Unknown Universe, like at Springfield Mall, and they all follow us inside. I was like, wow, this is great. It actually feels like I'm like a popular kid. You know what I mean? And then there's that moment. And I don't even know why I said this at all. But then this is just me being cool. Me being cool in my own head. I turned to them and be like, why are you following us? Go away. And then they all like unanimously go like, we're not following you. We're following your friend. You know, and I'm like, I bet that didn't really make me any cooler by telling them to go away. But of course, at that moment,
it's
I was
pretty
like,
rude.
It is pretty rude. I'm just, I guess just how, that's how it was.
Sometimes
I realize that's how it was. That's then forever. That's how it's always going to be. There's always someone cooler above me that people are going to be like, oh yeah. Like even my brother. Oh, Joe, where's your brother? Or like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Hey, Joe, where's this dude? Oh, where's Mike? Oh, where's James? Where's this? I'm just like, no one fucking wants to see me. It's such a sad life.
So are you going to try contacts? I like the glasses that you have right now.
I do too.
I will tell you that contacts, I still have my contacts, and I grew up wearing glass contacts, so it's like literally a thin piece of glass on your eye. And because apparently they told me at that time I had a different type of eye shape or some type of special eye that I needed to wear the glass contact, and it hurt like hell, and I only had one pair of the glass contacts. It's not like I had multiple ones that you can wear every month and throw away like they have now. And I remember I was coming in from track one day, and it was coming from, like, I guess a cold air to hot air inside, and for whatever reason, like, one of my contacts popped out, and then I remember looking around on the floor, and then this girl, Adriana, I remember she, like, helped me try to look for it, and then when we found it, it was already broken, and I was like, ah, damn it. And those were actually pricey. From what I remember, they were pricey because it was, like, my prescription and in a glass, yeah. You know? And so I was like, damn it. And then my mom had to call in a new prescription. And then
that's tough. Like, glass in your eye.
Yeah, it was serious. And then it also, it did hurt, and it dried out my eyes a lot. So I would constantly be putting eye dropper in.
See, I don't understand how a glass would work better than, like, the one that merges with your eye.
What do you mean?
Like, you have glass contacts. What's the other contacts?
Just, I guess they're thin. It's like a thin film type thing.
Yeah, I don't know why the glass would work better than the.
But I told you for. I guess from what I was told, it was like my type of eye, or my eyes are like more almond shaped, and I guess the cornea. I don't know. I'm not.
But that's
a doctor.
Weird because like with the one that just merges with your eye.
Well, it's crazy
because
then years later, and then so all of high school I wore glass contacts, and then in college I just started. I wouldn't say I was necessarily lazy, but it's college, and I had some classes that were like not as early as high school because that still started at 7:30. But like, you know, when you're in college, you're tired and stuff. So I started slipping from wearing the contacts, and I guess I was wearing glasses more, and I guess I just didn't care about necessarily popularity. I was more trying to get my portfolio ready and all that. But you know, occasionally I would wear the contacts if it was a special event. But then I guess I had my eyes checked sometime between then, and then the doctor was like, oh, you can use the regular contacts. I don't know what they call them, the non-glass ones.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, it's so thin. It's like a thin piece of, I don't know what they make it out of, but it basically, it actually feels like gel. It feels like watery. And so, you know, I put them in my eye. It took a little bit to get adjusted to, but they're easier. And it doesn't feel like there's something in your eye as much, you know, because before it's like there's glass in your eye. And even if you got like a small bit of dust or sand or something else in your eye, it would hurt like hell.
Yeah.
Because it would be like a little piece of sand rubbing against glass on your eye. Like, it seriously hurt. Like, I don't know how I went through all that pain.
I don't understand either.
Like, I went through the pain to like be beautiful in high school or whatever, you know. And
beautiful.
And I think I don't regret that, because in high school, everyone wants to like look their best, and for some reason everyone's trying to look hot. And
what do you mean for some reason?
No, but like the thing is like they are trying to look hot, but everyone else is trying to look hot, so they're all focused on themselves. But I still feel like if I was to wear glasses, I would be put more in like the dork category, as if I wasn't already, but like to be put more so in it, you know. So I guess I feel good about that choice back then. Yeah, like now I have the regular contacts, and I only put them in like if there's a special event. I should probably use them more, but the thing is like I'm staring at a computer for 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
It starts to hurt, and it starts to dry out your eyes, so like I just don't wear contacts as much anymore, as much as I actually would like to wear them more.
You still have them?
I still have them. They're still good. I have some that aren't even open yet, and I'm still I bet they're still good, and they're fine. I mean, I probably should get a new prescription maybe in the next year or two, but I can still use the contacts that I already have. But I don't know, man. I just don't see the benefit. If you're going to work on a computer for hours.
Some
I work
people
on a computer
just,
for like at least 10 hours
some
a day.
People just don't want to wear glasses. Maybe that's
yeah,
it. You know, that's the reason.
They're still afraid. And if, in a way, like, is that damaging still at, you know, at an adult age.
That stuff doesn't go away.
To be like, I'm not going to wear glasses. I'm not going to be a dork.
That stuff never goes away.
But at my age, it actually did get away from me because now I wear glasses and I don't care if people calls me a dork.
But no one has, really. That just is with the times, man. It's just different. Back then, it wasn't, you didn't have cool glasses to be like, I wasn't like, oh man, these are very cool. Now people can wear the same nerdy ass glasses that we had in high school. And now you wear it now. And you're like, oh, look, that's a trend. You know, you're absorbing the nerdiness. I'm like,
do you think if you were in high school, they would treat you like that? Or they'd be like, everyone. Was that just an age gap?
No, I believe none of that stuff goes away.
But no one has ever made fun of my glasses as I've been an adult.
Well, because
outside of college, no one has ever made fun of
them. Because for one thing, more people started wearing them. That's one thing. Glasses just became this thing that everyone freaking wears. You know what I mean? My belief is that it comes with having to look at screens. Everyone's looking at screens. Well, you're going to have to get glasses. You know what I mean? But now people can really embrace because now fashion is crazy like that.
They do make some really nice glasses now. I mean, there are some designer glasses out there.
We all have designer glasses. I don't even know what I have.
What do I have? There are some that are really, really nice.
It doesn't even say what it has anymore. It came off.
It rubbed out.
I rubbed it out.
You rubbed it out, baby.
Mark Hunter makes my glasses.
Let me see who makes mine.
The coolest guy's looking at her glasses.
Oh, I'm made by Visions.
Visions.
I don't know if that's a designer brand. I used to have an Anne Klein, the previous one.
Was there ever a time where you felt like, what was the time where you felt the coolest in the past years that we've lived so far?
That's a good question.
I can tell you.
I've actually never really felt like super cool.
Well, I can say like recently I felt pretty. I mean, before this past week, I felt pretty amazing.
What happened?
No, it's just faces. But then, like, I think right after
the full moon,
before I went to VCU, that transitional era, I was pretty high and confident. Not high, but I was pretty confident about my everything. I was like, wow, I feel pretty damn good, you know?
Yeah.
Then what happened? I mean, I'm just saying, those are the times where I felt like the coolest.
You felt the coolest. I had the confidence. So right out of high school.
No, not right out of high school.
Oh.
Right before I went from community college to university.
And you were like, "Damn, I'm going from community college to VCU."
Yeah, because that was like more of a hustle. What's happening?
A hustle.
Well, you know, like, you know, I was like, "Oh man, my work is awesome. I feel like, you know, I started wearing colors."
I'm not wearing black all the time anymore.
No, that's truly what happened. Like, I had to like absorb
I can wear colors, man. The world is colorful.
And so like, and then I had a different hairstyle too. If you remember, I started changing it up. I had more like a 70s. I don't know what the hell to call it. But then everyone, mother freaking Asian, was starting to doing that. Of course, I had to change it up. I don't know what to call it. But it was like a. Because before, I don't know what I had. Like, because I look at the images of myself, and this is a very vain episode, by the way. But I looked at the pictures of me in high school. I think what happened, again, I parted my hair different. That's what happened.
That's what changed.
That's legit what happened, because I remember in high school, I parted my hair down the center, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's legit how it was. There's all these photos of parting my hair down the center. But then something happened where I changed. I started parting my hair on the side. And like, once I started... God. I'm freaking not gonna take me serious. It's a serious situation. That's what happens, man. That's to a guy. That's a different hairstyle altogether. But legit, it was a different hairstyle because before I was just doing that, like I was just rocking the Eric Matthews, you know, just like, oh, there's the part down the center on the side. But now it was like the intro to emo in a way. Just like it was down, and then like I had like part of it, like it was short enough that I can cover half of my eye and at a slant. I don't know, man. That's just how it became. But I thought, like, oh, it looks pretty cool.
Like look Jessica up, Rabbit.
Look at my VCU ID. That's how it was.
Everybody,
I felt like I was in a
pull
better,
it out of your wallet.
I was in a better shape. I was in a better shape then, though I wasn't really in a better shape.
I think you're physically in a better shape right now. I think you're probably in one of the best shapes of your lifetime.
I feel like it's...
Right now.
I feel that way, too. Really, you know, and this is how vain I really get. And when I Google myself and I look at all these other images, I'm like, this all looks like, I look like crap. I legit look like crap. There's a lot of times where I look like crap. And I just have, I look at them, I'm just gonna let that go. And that's the moment where I understand, like, where girls are like, I need to get nice, pretty photos of me. So, like, and every year goes by and then I'll always remember this. But I just want to keep getting better ever as the years go by. You know what I mean?
Like a fine wine.
Yes.
Like George Clooney.
Yes, I'll be George Clooney as the years go by.
Yeah, I mean, George Clooney, there's a picture circulating of him. I don't know what age he was, I guess high school. I have to say, he doesn't look so hot. I mean, you can definitely tell it's him,
but
I guess.
There's potential there, right?
I don't know. But maybe it was just the times. Because he had dorky glasses, a dorky haircut. I don't know, he did look pretty dorky. But now everyone's like, oh my god, he's the most handsomest man ever. He's the sexiest. I love his gray hair.
But also listen to the way he talks, too. His pacing is, like, amazing. It's like his pacing matches, like, his swagger. He's like, hi, I'm George Clooney. You know what I mean? That's how you gotta do it. It's like, there really is. When it comes down to the way you talk, that really is and matches your swagger. So if you rush it, then you're like, oh, you know what I mean? But then, like, if you take your time, you're like, hey, I'm Joe. How are you? You know what I mean?
Then
the panties will drop, man.
The panties are dropping.
So, like, the next time you meet someone and you shake your hand, you take the time to shake their hand and have eye contact, you got to remember that the pacing, the first meeting, you shake the hand, and you're like, hey, I'm Joe. Like, that moment's important. That the way you talk is important. The way you sell yourself is important, you know? Like, that's one thing I started realizing, too, when we started, like, having to market our own stuff is, like, those first meetings. And how you talk about it, you gotta be in control. And I think the best way to be in control of a situation that I've learned from doing all that is slowing it down. You know what I mean? If you want to make great barbecue, you gotta learn to slow it down.
Simmer down.
You gotta slow it down.
Was that Molly Shannon?
I don't know. I was just quoting the Robert Rodriguez. If you want to learn how to make great barbecue, you gotta learn to slow it down.
He has a good voice too.
Well, sure, if you get real close to the mic. Go real close to the mic and be like, hey.
I'm not a guy.
Getting real close to the mic. Well, then you can do you can do the girl voice version of it.
Hey. Does this sound good?
Does this sound good?
Am I sexy?
Am I sexy? That's the sexy voice. Hey. Am I sexy? Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas. I don't know if
tacos.
I don't know. Do I have a sexy voice?
If you control.
If I come close to the mic, how about that? Is that sounding good?
Listen, you can hear yourself in the headphones. You tell me if that's the sexy voice. This is my radio hosting voice where I'm like, hey, I'm a radio host. I'm here. I'm Aziz Brian. But then I want to get deep and get sexy, then you go close and you drop it down a little bit. Hey everybody.
I'm going to drop it down.
You got to drop it down some.
How's it going?
But see, the girls, it's
the
different.
The girls doesn't
girls,
work like
you don't
that.
Drop it down.
Or
girls,
they're just acting perky.
You're trying to be like
Hi Howard. I'm Playmate of the Year, April. You know how it is. I'm sexy.
I guess if you don't get the helium style voice.
But that's how they talk, so I don't know. Am I cute?
It's funny. I mean, it's funny how that becomes a way, but that's not how all of them can talk. Girls have different ways of talking. You don't have to.
I think the sexy talk that everyone likes is the ScarJo, Scarlett Johansson.
How's the ScarJo one?
She's like.
But she has that Jersey raspy.
She's like, I'm Lucy.
I'm Lucy. Not the robot from her, or not the OS from her. Oh, hi.
I scheduled an appointment today. We're going to have lunch. Was that sexy?
I don't know if that was sexy. Hi. We will schedule lunch for you in approximately 10 minutes. Thank you. That's how the voice is.
Well, sexy. A lot of guys like her voice.
Hi, I'm George.
I think a lot of girls have sexy voice when they're sick.
I remember when for RVA House Show, the music show that I produced back in 2008. Damn, that like Vermilion Lies. That one, the girl group band had one of the girls had like, what is it called? Like, for something was wrong with her voice, laryngitis or
herpes.
Something like. I don't know if that affects their voice if you have herpes.
I mean, it's a different type of lip. Could affect it. You never know.
Oh, she got the herpes. Don't worry about her.
Aren't there some bumps up there? I don't know. I don't know how that works.
But basically what happened was, like, so she had, like, her voice was, like, really raspy and stuff like that. She really didn't even talk during the interview because she had, like, no voice. But when she sang, it was awesome because it was, like, this low registered, like, you know, like, the sexy low register. But she, and, like, that was all I was so used to, right? And, like, I was like, damn, that sound. And I told her, I was like, you know, it sounded actually pretty good. That was, like, pretty awesome. And, you know, that had a good sexy raspiness to it. And she's like, oh, thank you. You know, and then when I saw, like, the normal performance of it with her normal voice, I was like, I still like the raspy one better.
Yeah.
There's some soul attached to that.
There is. They have a good CD you got me.
Vermillion Lies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was called The Box or The Secret Box or something like that.
Kim and Zoe are still making music, but I don't know if together, but whoever sticks together forever. Stay together for the kids.
Yes, that's how it should be.
But yeah, like a voice. I mean, I think Don Draper has a good voice.
And now he narrates all those Mercedes-Benz.
Does he?
Yeah, haven't you heard those ads?
No.
They're like, when you ride a Mercedes-Benz, you ride a Mercedes-Benz.
When you ride a Mercedes-Benz, you ride a Mercedes-Benz. I can't do a Don Draper voice.
It's Peggy, a hard one.
Peggy, close the door. Close the door, Peggy. Close the door behind you. I think I have to, like, stand to do that. I can't sit and do, like, a Don Draper voice.
No, you have to stand to be authoritative.
I do like the character of Don Draper. A lot of people don't like the character of Don Draper.
Really? I've never heard anybody say they don't like him.
I've heard you say you don't like Don Draper.
No, I never said I didn't like him,
like,
as a character.
You're like, he's such a horrible human being. God.
No.
God.
No.
He just sleeps with all those women.
Well, I agree with some of that, but I think he's a good character for TV.
Yeah, I mean, a good character for TV doesn't make it a good human, right?
That's what I'm talking about. I never said he was a bad character for TV. Don and Peggy, like, I think are my top characters in Mad Men.
But I think when we watch Mad Men, it's funny because I still, like, I actually learn from Mad Men, like how to...
You learn how it works.
Well, I don't know if learn how it works, but I learn, like, the angles that you can take on things to really reveal, like, a product or really reveal something that you're trying to sell. You know what I mean? Like, how you can... You know, I bet it's, I mean, if I went to marketing class school and all that stuff, I would learn a lot more. But there's something very intriguing about, like, you know, on the subject of us trying to pitch ourselves and in our work. And I look at that and I look at Mad Men and how, you know, every episode they end with the pitch, the workable pitch or the, you know, the tags and stuff like that. And I look at that and I try to put that mentality into what we do. You know, he's talking about Lucky Strike, and he's talking about
Strike,
and he's talking about, like, the cars, what makes people want to get the product. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I try to really get down, you know, with that. It's like, what really makes these products connect with people? What makes people want to see my movie, with my films, and listen to my music, or to see it, read our comics? It's like, you really think about that, you know?
Yeah, it's educational.
Well, yeah, educational, but also in the same, it's in a way, it's inspiring because it makes you also, to me, it modifies, not doesn't modify, but it makes me really think about what I'm creating too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, is people going to connect with this? Is this the, I guess it makes me think about the audience in a way. Is that the right way to do it? Should I be thinking about the audience? It's half and half, right?
You got to think about the customer because they're the people that are going to buy it. And there are people that are going to give the company money.
But at the same time, it's like when I'm writing a story or a song, I'm putting something of me out there. And then...
That's the difference between art and commerce.
Yeah. But then you can still spin it. You know, I can find that. I can try to spin it to find something that would fit and how it would fit after I've done through my process.
Yeah. It's always a way to... That's the hard thing about being an artist. It's like you can create something for yourself, which I think is the origins of art. But then modern day art, people want to create something that helps others, which then gets into the territory of design or advertising. So you're advertising a product that helps other people.
Yeah, or you can make them think that it helps them.
I mean, it usually does. That's why they make the products to begin with. You can think of, like, any product and find a reason to buy it, even if you don't need it. That's what it comes down to. But also what it comes down to is that we're born with nothing.
Yeah.
But yet, look at all the
things. Or in some religions, we're born with original sin.
But look at all...
material things. We have the material things.
Yeah, look at all the material things that you've amassed throughout your whole life from out of nothing. It's pretty crazy if you think about it. And some people really don't have anything for years and years, but most people do. Like, I'd say most people in America, they have a place to live. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you have a place to live.
And you have a phone or a computer or some digital device.
You have everything at your fingertips. So, right there is already everything. And I feel like the next generation, they might not have actual physical things. They might not play a guitar. They might play a guitar app.
Yeah, probably play a guitar app.
So they might not... I think guitars will still exist.
Because you have keyboards on the apps and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that music and guitars will still exist. If anything, it might have like another renaissance. But physical things are going to diminish more and more. Books are going to diminish. Everything's going to just diminish. The only things that I think people always need, though, are fashion and food. So, like...
The two Fs.
Yeah. There's other Fs, too, but... Yeah. But, like, you know...
What
like,
are the other Fs?
I'll let you figure that out.
Me? Why do I have to figure it out?
But, you know, like, for food...
Fun?
Like, you
Is
still,
it fun?
Yeah, it's fun. You still, yeah, like...
it's fun.
You still need, like, for food, you're still gonna need all those equipments, like bowls or...
What? Bowls?
Yeah, bowls or spatulas.
Yeah, skillets. Tools. You still need tools.
That's what I mean. You're still
physical tools.
You're still gonna need those physical tools to make food unless somebody creates an app where you can actually eat the food from the app. I don't know how that will happen, but it might.
3D printer. That's what'll be 3D printer.
But will it taste good, though?
That's part of the future.
That's what we need to find out. But I guess what I'm saying is, for the time being, you're still going to need kitchen utensils. But some people don't even make their own food, so they might just eat out every night. So
yeah.
I don't know. But so you're still going to need food, kitchen utensils, and fashion is like the main way that people can express themselves and cover up their body, because if they don't cover up their body, then they get arrested. So
yeah, well, no one's covering up their body these days.
Yeah, but not in public. You can, I guess, online you
well,
can
people are
see
gonna
the pictures.
People are going to protest sooner or later. Like, I should be naked all the time.
They already are doing that. But
yeah,
then,
that's what I'm saying.
But you can get arrested for that right now. So
they'll change if they can legalize
saying,
marijuana.
Like,
you can
fashion,
be
if you fashion can, and food are still in. Those are like the only physical things that people need right now. Everything else is going to demolish. There'll still be special opportunities, but it does kind of sadden me that the younger generation does not own physical things. But then...
Well, if you think about it, once they're born these days, their thrust in their face is a physical thing that enthralls everything. Like, oh, here's your calculator, here's your TV, all in one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So they don't even need the physical things anymore because they're not even taught about that. Books? Buttons? They don't even need buttons, man.
Why not? People need buttons.
I mean, buttons as in the push on the phone or something like that.
There are still buttons.
Pretty soon, this keyboard that's in front of me is just going to be flat, like a screen. It probably already is a screen.
Wow.
You're still
going to need buttons to type stuff in.
No, you don't.
Why not?
We'll have on your iPhone, do you need buttons?
Yeah.
No, like physical buttons?
What do you mean buttons that are on the screen?
No, but like...
They're still called buttons.
No, that's what I'm saying, but like actual like pushing physical buttons.
Yeah, but you're still pushing the letters.
No,
you're
going to need that,
type.
But you're not going to need the actual like mechanism that does that. It's just a touching... It's a reactionary digital device.
Yeah.
It's a video game.
It's still going to be a flat screen.
It's a video game that you're pushing. You know what I mean? It's
push,
all just
push.
Video games. We're just going to live in a video game life. That's really what it's going to come down to, right?
But then there might be a revolt, you know? There might be some people that are...
It's like the new age hippies?
They're going to be like...
Neo hippies?
Read books. But you know what is crazy though?
And then what you know what's gonna happen when you have physical when you have the physical versus the digital is gonna try to burn down the physical.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And then the physical is gonna try to delete the digital. And then everyone's just gonna go away. That's World War IV. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, it will.
Delete and fire. Delete fire. That's what it is.
But it's crazy because a lot of the environmental people, they're all like, oh, no more books because We want to save a tree and all that, and like I understand about that, but also we have like all these iPhones that are made in factories by like little children and people that are trying to commit suicide because they hate working in those facilities to make the computers.
And then like, these days people can't even let go of their phone in general.
But also if people get like new phone updates or new laptops every 2 years, then like think of how much those are going to be just like in the trash, you know? So we're just making all these metal trashes and that's taking up energy. But then a tree can always, like, regrow.
The tree will always grow.
The tree will always grow. But the technology is just going to be, like, a big landfill of, like, all everyone's shitty computers.
Because unless they can make technology grow itself, it will just compose and
But don't you think mush. Over time, all these environmental people that are all saying digital is the way to go, over time, then it will just be a big mass of computer graveyard.
That's pretty much what's going to happen.
So in a
somehow
way,
they're going to make that into like building material.
But the trees are better then.
Well, that's the question that we should leave the audience with. Which is better? Whichever one is the coolest one, that's what's going to happen. Whichever one's the most fashionable one will live forever.
Which is cooler to you? A laptop or a tree?
I'm not going to answer that right now.
We'll continue it next week.
Next week? Sure. How about you guys at home? Think about that. What is cooler, laptop or a tree? Remember, a tree, and then a laptop. It depends who you are.
Or a pad.
This show is brought to you by Astray Productions. Check them out at astrayproductions.com. Check out my work at joecarabeo.com. Also, one-shots.com. Also, check out my band, Mickey and Mallory, at mickeyandmallory.com. Also, check out my new work at goastray.tumblr.com. Carolyn, what do you have?
I have a website called carolynbolesky.com, and you can also check out my comic strip, Curls. Go to curls-studio.com/curls.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. These days, do not be afraid to wear your glasses, be yourself, or don't wear glasses, wear contacts. Whatever, just go out there and look at something and see. Go out there and see. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Thanks for listening. Be excellent to each other. See you, Carolyn.
See ya.